Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is the Amazing Jonathan. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Good old Amazing Jonathan. Boy, do we have some stories from back in the day that some we can tell on the air and some we can't. Not like the story you're about to tell, I'm sure.
Oh, it's an amazing story.
I can't wait. I'm holding my breath.
Okay, so a roommate was a wrestler when I was a younger man, and I went to some of his matches, and we went out afterwards, you know, a couple beers at like a steakhouse or something like that. And boy, these two guys, they went around the country, you know, when federations were in different areas of the country, and you had the Florida Federation and all these different ones like that. So they moved around a lot, and there wasn't a lot of money to be had. So they had to make up another way to get money to continue to wrestle. So nights after wrestling,
is the Statue of Limitations over on the story you're about to tell?
Oh, okay. Well over.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah. So then they would bring scuba tanks with them, at least one. One guy would be the watch, and the other guy would be scuba diving at golf courses late at night, gathering golf balls. That was one way. And then a couple times, like, you know, the guy wouldn't be watching, and they would get caught and everything like that.
So what'd they do, sell the balls back? Or?
Yeah. Maybe not to that particular course.
Oh, to the next course.
But to the next course like that. And then another one was that I thought was pretty good was, now this is like criminal, even more criminal activity than that.
But you were back at the apartment sleeping.
This is way, even before they were telling the story, this is way back in the day.
I'm trying to cover for you.
Okay, well, I have nothing to do with it. But anyways, they said that they were walking down a country road, and it was up on a hill. And they seen this older truck sitting there. And they would be somebody that would, you know, steal a truck. So anyways, they get in this truck. They put it in neutral, and then probably the, like, jump start, you know, like the gears, you know, you jump start it, start the truck up. So it goes down the hill, and then it doesn't start. So they're wondering how, you know, to get the truck running and what are we doing and everything like that, because they're going to steal the truck. Well, this older gentleman comes up, and he says, hey, gentlemen, how you doing? Pretty good, like that. You know, what seems to be your trouble? And they go, well, it was, this truck was just running, and, you know, it quit. And he goes, oh, it was just running, huh? The guy obviously knew that the truck had been sitting there a long time. So he goes, oh, let's take a look under the hood. So the older gentleman goes to the front of the hood, opens up the hood, and he goes, here's your problem right here.
There's no engine.
There's no motor. So that's like when Bob Cook comes on, I'm sure there's stories, a lot of stories like that. You know, at one point, as far as I know, there wasn't that much money to be had.
Right.
And then there was a lot of money to be had. And now I don't know if people are under smaller contracts now. I'm not really sure. But anyways, those guys were making ends meet back then.
Well, back in the day, I know when I used to have wrestlers on a regular basis, they would wrestle like two, sometimes three events a day.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be at Sarasota. Then they'd come to Fort Homer Hesterly Armory. On what is it, Howard or Armenia? I think it's on both. It's on both sides. It's now where fights are on a regular basis. It's the Jewish Community Center and such. World Class Fight League has an event coming up in April, by the way. You going to videotape me judging?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'll be exciting.
There'll be a lot of excitement. I mean, do you put your hand and like write something, and then, I mean, how much movement is there involved?
Very, very little. But I will tell you this: I know you're trying to be a smart rear, but I take a lot of pride in my judging, honestly. And what I take even more so is that I'm the first one to turn my ballot in, because you need to know as soon as that bell rings who won the round. Sometimes there's judges, they're thinking, they're this. No, you've got to know. You can't think about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like what Frank Trigg said, and this is true, and this is how I look at it. You know, if a fighter wins a fight and gets a bad decision at the amateur ranks, it could affect them going pro. It could affect somebody signing them, whether it's after that fight or down the road. Now they have a fight. Now they have a loss, you know. So they look at all that stuff. And so I take it really seriously. And I was going to mention this to Frank. The only time I get a little nervous isn't the right word, but when they say split decision, because you don't want to be on the wrong end.
Right.
You know, you want to be the two, not the one.
Then you're singled out.
Well, they don't say your name, which I think they should. You know, I would be okay if everything is shown. Now, the UFC recently, over the last couple of years, they email the scorecards to all the media. But I think it should be posted right then and there. It should be posted on the screens. It's, you know, let everybody know who's judging what, not just their names. You know, what, you know, when it's done, you know, this is, you know, the first round went to who, whatever. I just think it's important, and it puts not necessarily credibility, but it puts on the judges, you know, and I'm not saying they do, but maybe at the lower level, you know, you daydream or you're not paying attention for the whole 3 minutes or 5 minutes if it's a pro fight. So I'm looking forward to it. It's been a little while since I've judged. A lot of things going on. A lot of times World Class Fight League would have an event the same night as a UFC. And, you know, we travel to those.
So as a judge, there's the hard warning, the soft warning, whatever they're called. As a judge, when you see it happening, do you, like, say, take a point away, even though
you can't
because you have to go with the referee?
Exactly. If the referee says to take the point off, you take the point off. No, it's not my job to ref. So if somebody gets away with something, they got away with it.
What about the time when the guy dug out the padding and the gloves and beat that guy? And he later on down the line, he had he was an Irish guy, I believe. Do you remember that? Okay, so there's other unforseen things.
Sure, you know, but
and,
that's
and like drugs. That goes to the
commission.
The commission,
right? You know, so a judge doesn't know any of that stuff.
Yeah,
he's not supposed to know. How can he know?
Or the ref.
You know, or the ref. You know, that's something that happens later. But, you know, I see all the time, whether I'm judging or I'm watching at home, you know, the fence grabs and the warnings and the stern warnings and the very stern warnings. And if you do it again, I'm going to give you a warning and take away your first child. And but until you do it, until the ref turns and one point, you can't.
Right.
Then you have to block everything else out. I don't care who wins. And I truly don't. I've always said that I could judge my mom fighting my wife. I don't care who wins. You know, I want the right person to win. That's why I enjoy judging.
So when you go there as a judge, do you go back where the fighters are?
No,
you don't?
No.
You're separated from them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I've never have. Like, I think once or twice when it was at what's now the Jewish Community Center in Tampa, I might have walked back to just go see somebody that I knew.
Is that something that you do on your own, or they tell you that you can't really mix with the people?
I think it's common sense.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever been told it, but it's common sense. You know, there was recently, it's probably been a couple of years now, where somebody judged, I believe it was a Clay Guida fight, and he was on Clay Guida's Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that he did, hence whatever, but it looks bad.
Right.
You know, and that's why, you know, we don't put amateur fighters on the show. Because I could, at some point, judge against or for, you know, one of these fighters.
So when you judge, where is the food, the drink? is it back with everybody else?
You don't get food and drink.
No.
Okay. You know. Now at the amateur level, you get away with, you know, like I'll smuggle a Diet Coke in, you know, because if the location has Pepsi, you know, I'll.
I'm not going to name the place, the venue, or the organization, but I see, like you're saying, the judges are separate. They seem to use the restroom. I never see the fighters in the restroom that I go to out in general.
Yeah, well, typically the judges and the referee, they're in the back, so you know they can use, you know, the arena or the facility. Now I don't know if you're talking, you know, UFC, Bellator, PFL, or you know the smaller organizations.
I wasn't going to mention it, but is that the Apex? I noticed that the judges use the restroom in the common area.
Yeah, well, and that would make sense. Yeah. You know, but I'm sure that there's others that they could go to. You know, that's probably the quickest and the easiest, you know, place for them to go.
So also I want to bring this to trading cards. Okay, I have a Boo Pal trading card, and I was just wondering if it's, you know, worth anything.
Well, we'll find out when Ryan gets here. Let's go hit a break. Coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator.
Hey.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Jay Johnstone from the Phillies, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
It all starts here. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars along the spectacular waterfront of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. Are you ready? Be here. March 3rd to the 5th, the NTT IndyCar Series headlines an action-packed weekend of racing under the sun.
Scott McLaughlin, he is now an IndyCar race winner!
Advance tickets start at $25. Get yours now. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, March 3rd to 5th. Be here.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Conveniently located in Pinellas Park, Cool Breeze AC is just one phone call away. Reach them at 727-954-3605, and their highly skilled and knowledgeable technicians will be at your service 24/7, ensuring your ultimate comfort all year round.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Russ Hochstein, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. First and foremost, Ryan is now joining us, and I appreciate your effort.
Failed effort, apparently.
We'll get it figured out. Well, it all happened because I left the power cord in Las Vegas at the Super Bowl.
Well, if there's any way to leave it.
That is the best place. All right, so Steve had a comment, a question just before he exited.
Okay.
I guess his most prized possession is a Boog Powell rookie card.
1962 Boog Powell? Well, of course. 1962 Boog Powell Raw is going to be, you know, $15 to $20.
Wow, that's more than I anticipated.
Well, anytime you're getting back into early 60s, the print runs are so low that the people that are just trying to complete their sets will kind of come out of pocket to help you out there.
What is maybe first let's talk about this. Saturday night, Ilya Topuria defeats Alex Volkanovski. What does that do to Alex's cards, and what does it do to Topuria's?
Well, Alex, one of the first events we did was his kind of coming out party where he had the fangs and he was going No, wait, who was that? That's not the same.
That's Andre Orlovsky.
That's Orlovsky. No, Volkanovski's cards, I'd say, if you're out of the rookie year for a lot of these guys, you need autos. And this year's rookie class, I'm not sure. Wins and losses obviously drive prices for some of these people, but when it comes to UFC, it's a little different. In the way that NASCAR is a little different, where people are rooting for their guy, kind of win, lose, or whatever. Not like Purdy threw three touchdown passes and the Niners won, and now Purdy's card is going crazy because of perceived value of that.
So why is that? Why is combat sports different?
I think it has to do with the way that people gravitate towards this fighter, that fighter is like a personal choice rather than where they were born or who their dad rooted for or whatever the case may be. And there are different kind of variables, let's say, that decide how you become a fan of a specific fighter. Now, their values will go up. If they're a young fighter who keeps on winning, yes, it's going to spike. Paddy's cards started going crazy there for a while. He had the goofy haircut. He was winning fights.
He had a win. A win.
Well, at the time, right, it was a big deal. Like, that was a big deal in the hobby. It's like, because he was a rookie. The class was coming out a little bit weak. And then, lo and behold, he wins. But it's a cautionary tale of where you can end up. Now those cards are not in that same stratosphere. So,
as a card story, and this isn't, you know, all going to be on the card shop. We're going to talk some sports, and we're going to got a couple interviews coming up, some UFC fighters coming up in hour number three. Would the cards value, because I've always wondered this, you know, everybody gets so excited. Oh, I got a card signed by X. Mm. Now, if you don't write on the card who signed it, you wouldn't know who signed it.
Many of those times. You got your outliers, like a Goose Gossage, who will write every letter just to, I mean, you can read the guys.
We were just with him last Saturday.
Great dude. I mean, anyway, I've limited exposure. But that's the example of, like, the good one, where you actually can read this guy's name. And then you have George Pickens or one of these guys. I mean, I've seen some of the worst, but George Pickens' autograph has to be the worst autograph ever.
I've seen a check mark. I've seen a C.
This was a circle, so it's getting there. Like, it's seriously, this is the, I mean, it's just like
not
this.
That people can see, but yeah, that's looks like it. A two.
I mean, it was so bad. That's, and it was numbered out of 150 optic rated rookie. It's not like some throwaway card. It's like an excellent card out of an $800 box.
So what would that particular card be worth? And it doesn't really matter who the person is, but you said pick it. It looks like Pickens. It looks like one letter. It looks like a number two.
It affects the auto.
Does it,
the sale?
The cost?
If a beautiful looking auto is going to get you an extra $50, but if it's some scratch, some X marks the spot type of thing, the values are just not going to be there. People want to buy those autos that have. You don't necessarily have to be able to read the guy's name, but it has to look like he actually wrote his name.
Well, you know, let's be honest. Cal Ripken Jr., even though people say it's a beautiful autograph, you can see the C. You can see the R. You can tell that it's Cal Ripken Jr., but it's not a beautiful autograph.
No. It's iconic, I guess, in the way he does. He's pretty consistent.
Right.
And he signed a lot of autos.
No.
But it's not like it's a bad thing if you have an auto that's been signed, like a Mickey Mantle. He signed a lot. Ted Williams signed a lot. What are you going to do, turn in the auto now? It's no good? Get out of here. It's still worth it.
See, I didn't think Ted signed a whole lot. I know that he sold a whole lot.
Well, the other store was in Citrus County, so I had all kinds of Ted stories.
Right.
I mowed Ted's lawn. He gave me an autographed baseball. I mowed Ted's lawn. He signed my hat.
Sure.
I moved a refrigerator out of Ted's garage. He gave me a signed baseball bat. Like, it's this kind of thing.
I know a and you know I hate the word famous and legend and icon, and a very famous football player that played in the Tampa Bay area, who that's how he would pay bills. You know, hey, if you do this one more thing for me, I'll give you this, you know, which was valuable.
At the time, I'm sure.
You know, well, and probably now it is. If you're talking about somebody like Ted Williams or Mickey Mantle, I've seen a Mickey Mantle ball go for, you know, anywhere from $500 to $2,000.
If it's right on the sweet spot, perfectly done and all that, and it's, yeah, you're $2,500.
$2,500?
If you can get all
Do you know a great card shop that I can reach out to?
I don't do a lot of memorabilia, frankly, because memorabilia...
Oh, it's tough.
It's so specific. If somebody's going to spend that $5 to $750, he better really like the player.
Right.
And having something for everybody in that regard is difficult. So we stay away from the mem. I don't do the autos necessarily unless they're on the card from the factory, and I don't have to worry about getting knocked on the grade of the card because it was personally signed and now the card's a zero.
Right.
Because it's been somebody wrote all over this thing.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And well, you get a zero on the card.
You had a rookie card. It was worth this. But once you got some legend to sign it, Michael Jordan signed his rookie card.
Yeah.
Now it goes from
this piece of crap Acuna autograph. It's worth nothing now.
Right, exactly.
But this is Shohei is actually the one that's really hard to get. Shohei autographs are not easy to get, worth every penny. Every Shohei autograph is – it's got an international – desire for this, right?
Is that what draws it up? The fact that, you know, the Japanese fans, you know, who money is no object.
Trading the Angels gear for the Dodgers gear, they're going to make that $70 million in Dodgers gear in 6 months.
And what a genius job by Ohtani. You know, he could have gotten probably more money, but the money he saved, because, you know, he didn't move. He lives in the same place.
$68 million deferred per year. Are you kidding
me? Genius. He's a genius.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable deal. Unbelievable for the Dodgers. They've got a loaded team. It allows them to just stack the cupboard while he's there. And then when he's gone, it's like, well, you're paying that $68.
Well, you know, and people right now are thinking, you know, that it was stupid, that it was this. How many more years of Bobby Bonilla Day is it? You know, where he
three or four? Well, he's got a few more.
But he's been getting one point whatever, which sounds like a lot of money, which was back in the day. But he's been getting one point whatever for – he's been out of baseball for 20 years, 30 years?
His kind of contract is no longer legal. You can't do it like they structured his.
There's a lot of things that are illegal that I'm sure still go on, though. I mean, don't kid yourself.
Well, when it comes to the signings, look at some of these. They learned it from the college ranks, where these NFL guys were getting recruited to the college ranks because we can throw a country club membership in there for you. We can throw a Maybach in there for you or whatever. So many, this exclusive club in this city, XYZ, that nobody can get into, you can get into it. Like, these kind of things are big selling points outside of the money, because once you have enough, there's only so much you need.
Sure.
And it becomes, well, where can I get? And those are big salary boosters.
What's the hottest collectible, the hottest sport collectible right now?
Hottest sport collectible still after the football. You get about 2 weeks of football hangover where everything that transpired within the football shakes the market. That's the biggest game of the year, obviously. The Mahomes cards go through the roof, bananas. And then it kind of comes back down and you're looking to get the guy who's going to win next year's Super Bowl before anybody realizes it. Because if you're reacting to the sports card market, especially when it comes to quarterback, you're paying too much. If you're buying it after he's done something really good,
it's too late.
That is not the time. That's absolutely not the time. You want to buy it after he's a bum and he threw three picks. This guy's he's not going anywhere. This Purdy character, he's a bum. He's nothing.
Last pick in the draft.
Yeah, he's a game manager.
I'll give you a dime for the card. Sold.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
When the one of the trading card companies brings out their next pro football series, what's the Taylor Swift rookie going to go for?
Taylor Swift rookie's already out.
Is it really?
It's in the Allen and Ginter Topps baseball set like a few years ago, and it is five figures last time I checked. I think like 12, 15K.
Really?
Like that? Yeah. I mean, but at the time, it was a throwaway. What? Who? Yeah,
right.
What? It's like a 2016 or something. It's an older car, or 2000. It's old. 2018 maybe. In the Ginter set from that year, they had a bunch of pop celebrities signing in the product because, you know, that's Ginter. You can pull this is a piece of Abraham Lincoln's tooth exhumed from, it's like, that's the hit.
Right, right.
This year it was dinosaur bones.
Really?
Some guy in the store hit a $4,000 T-Rex bone on a box topper rip card. like a piece of T-Rex leg bone. Turned around and sold it for $4,500. It was an $85 box.
I always back when I used to open the boxes, and I still have some sealed ones that I've never opened. But you know, when I would open stuff up, you know, I would get the I don't know, I'm going to make this up. Instead of getting the Lee Murray card, you know, the guy who's in prison for the longest bank heist, you know, I would get Robbie Lawler, which is good, but not great, but not super valuable, where the Lee Murray is probably stupid because it has a picture of him in the bank heist or something, you know, or the Taylor Swift or whatever. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's kind of stay on track, which means break time, coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator. We'll be right back.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Hi, this is Don King, and I'm listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. Join me. Don't touch that dial. We got something in store for you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival is celebrating its 45th anniversary, and you won't want to miss a moment. Experience the all-new Mermaid Cove, House of Dragons Pub, and enjoy classic favorites like live armored combat jousting or tasty turkey legs. Now is the perfect time to get your discounted tickets. Visit select Circle K locations or find your magic today at BayAreaRenFest.com. Huzzah!
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is BJ Upton from the Tampa Bay Rays. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Hi, we are back coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerator. All right, so we're going to continue talking, Ryan, about the shop. You just said wrestling was so hot. The Royal Rumble was just here in town not too long ago. Steve has a good friend that he's met and talked to, and he's going to update us and talk some wrestling. We've all grown up on wrestling. Let's welcome to the program Mr. Bob Cook. Bob, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. Sorry about last week. I apologize.
No worries at all. We appreciate your time, and any time that I can talk wrestling, it's a good time and a good day for me. Grew up watching wrestling, have numerous wrestlers that were and are friends. First, talk to us a little bit about you and your association with wrestling.
Well, I fell in love with it in 1975 after going home with a friend to watch it. wasn't interested in it, and I got hooked instantly. Terry Funk was going crazy. Gordon Sully was calling the action. Championship Wrestling from Florida. Greatest moment of my life, I thought. I thought, why doesn't everybody love this? What have I been missing?
You know, the funny thing or the comment on that statement is I'm very honored and miss him dearly, you know, to call Gordon Sully. He was a very good friend of mine. And when I got to know him, he did our TV show, and we would always hang out at all these events. And what a legend, and I hate that word legend, what a legend he is and was, and how he honed his craft and how he studied and how he handled his job still to this day is truly amazing.
Yeah, he was a friend of mine as well. He's a great guy. And when it comes to certain people, the word legend should be exaggerated, and Gordon is definitely one of those.
You know, and I'm sure you haven't listened to this show or haven't listened to it long, and that's one of my biggest pet peeves is the overuse of, you know, and anybody that knows the show, legend and star. And
don't get him started.
Yeah, you know, there was something that was just posted, a combat promotion is promoting a former UFC legend. He was 1-5 in the UFC.
That's not nice.
Wow. He's not a legend. He's not a star. And it's disrespectful, you know, to legends and stars. So, yeah, now that I'm all riled up. Tell us a good story that people may or may not know of. And I like talking more old school than, you know, for these young kids, the new stars. I like talking Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair and the Von Erichs and Hayes.
Don't get me started on the Iron Claw movie. I don't even want to go there.
Well, Steve told me to bring it up. I haven't seen it, so I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I can save you the trouble and just tell you it's absolutely an embarrassing movie. It's horrible. Whoever put it together should be slapped upside the head like David Schultz did to John Stossel back in 1985, or was it 84? I don't know. I'm old. But that's what should happen to the guy.
Well, let me ask you about the movie, and I do a contest on the show, just so you'll know that I don't watch movies, that if anybody can name 10 movies, and I've seen 7, they win a prize, and only 2 people have ever done it. What do you not like about the movie that it wasn't factual or it wasn't entertaining looking past the facts were not correct?
Both. It was definitely not factual. I mean, the timeline wasn't right. The facts were wrong. I mean, they had Kerry Von Erich training to become a professional wrestler because the Olympics got boycotted in 1980. He started wrestling in 1978. There's just so many things that are wrong with it. I mean, Mike Von Erich kills himself in 1987, and then they go back in time, presented as present time. It's just insane, where Kevin wrestles Ric Flair for the world title in 86, even though Mike is already dead. But then Mike just started training. It's just insane.
It just doesn't make sense.
No excuse.
Just the
movie lacks
out for a film.
Yeah. The movie lacks complete heart, passion. It lacks emotion. And when I saw the trailer first, you know, a few months ago, I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be the greatest movie of all time when it comes to wrestling. And I was just disappointed. Maybe I expected too much, but the trailer lied to us. It glossed over everything.
Then I'm going to add that to the almost 99.9% of all the movies as one that I have not, will not, and won't see. So we'll leave it at that.
Let
me throw probably the most difficult question I could possibly ask you, because, you know, we talk Mount Rushmores on a regular basis, and I know it's difficult. It's difficult to say, you know, the Mount Rushmore of professional athletes, but they always seem to bring up professional wrestling. And I'm not going to ask you to name 4, but, you know, who do you consider, you know, one of? I won't put you on the spot as the GOAT, but, you know, who in your opinion is in that list?
I mean, you mean from my personal perspective or what reality is? Everybody likes to have their own. Well, Mount Rushmore is Big Show and whoever because they liked him. When the reality is the ultimate Mount Rushmore guy in the world of professional wrestling would be Gorgeous George at number one. Because without Gorgeous George, it never would have evolved into what it is today. Now, whether you like it today or not is irrelevant to the fact that it's more popular now than it's ever been and making all kinds of money, at least the WWE. But without Gorgeous George changing the direction of wrestling into more show business and flashy characters, you never would have been where we are today. I never would have got hicked on wrestling if it would have, you know, never change. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, I totally get it. Were you and I know that you've been involved and you've been involved in all the promotions, but were you more a WCW or more a WWF guy?
Well, I wrestled for WCW for 6 or 7 years. I only worked for WWE for a year, or WWF, as we like to call it back then.
Right.
But I just love wrestling. You know, I'm not somebody who goes, well, I don't watch this because I watch that. No, I love wrestling. Good, you know, every promotion throughout history has had good and bad, great and sad, and that's the reality. You know, you go back in 1976 and watch an episode of Championship Wrestling from Florida, and you got Haystacks Calhoun in the ring with two guys who don't know how to lace their boots, and one of them is Haystacks Calhoun. And then you got another guy in a horrible match, but the last match is Steve Kern against Bob Orton Jr., and you thought you saw the greatest thing of all time. So the point is, there's good and bad and great and sad in every version of wrestling, every era, and every promotion. Well, most every promotion.
No, definitely true. You know, obviously, and I like that comment. And, you know, since I talk for a living and I've done it for almost 40 years, I enjoyed, you know, the commentating. I enjoyed the interviews, you know, whether it was Gordon or not. You know, I enjoyed watching the wrestlers hone their craft of being, you know, on camera as talking just as much as I enjoyed watching the wrestling.
Especially in the old days. I mean, guys like Superstar Billy Graham and Terry Funk, and of course Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes, and the guys that are known for talking, guys that could just do nothing but talk and sell out an arena. That's an art in itself, I think.
Later on, that came, what I watched for was the interview, right? I mean, I'll tell you what, Mean Gene, that's more my era, just because when I was watching, right, Randy was all over the place. It was all Randy all the time, because Ric Flair was kind of on the way out, but Randy Macho Man Savage, he carried the interview. You couldn't look away. He carried that thing on into the newer generation, where that's kind of what I was watching. When him and Hulk would get on there, that's kind of my era of it. It's a continuation, but that's why I watched it, for the interview part.
But Bob, let me ask you this. Compare today's wrestling world. You know, the Royal Rumble was just here, the Monday night event, obviously 2 days later. You know, give me your thoughts on that, comparing it back to the day, and day meaning the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it's more flashy nowadays. I usually like the shows. I'm not someone who sits around and criticizes. I'm not bitter in any way. I loved my time in wrestling, even though I never became a legend, unfortunately. But I loved my time in wrestling, and I appreciated every moment I had. And maybe not in the moment. I should have probably done that. Live and learn. But I didn't think this year's Royal Rumble was as good as it should have been. But that's, you know, you can't win them all. Good thing you aren't paying $50 or $60 for a pay-per-view like you did years ago. I mean, thank God for the Peacock Network. you'd be more upset if the shows were bad. I paid $50 for that. Like when AEW has a show and you pay $50, I don't do that. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a mark. But you pay that and it's not good, you know, you paid $50. But Peacock, if it's not good, you're like, well, better luck next time.
Right. Yeah, you know, for sure. Now, Steve said that you've got some things in the works as well. Talk about those.
What do I have in the works?
I think he said a tag team tournament or something.
Seminar?
Or a seminar?
What? No. Oh, he said, yeah, we're doing something down in Inglewood next week. Three of us old guys are going to get together, and a bunch of people are going to sit there and listen to us tell stories, and hopefully I can come up with some good lies to embellish the ones I have.
Well, they won't know the difference, so it works.
Well, you of know, course not.
And that's one of the big things, you know, doing things like that. I know that some of the old Chicago Bulls are doing the same kind of tour in Australia to kind of talk about that 30 for 30 with Michael Jordan, you know, their side. There's always three sides to every story. So getting out there and telling some of these stories from that back in the day, you know, is awesome.
Let me guess. Their side, and the truth. I know.
It could be.
When it comes to wrestling, if you listen to a wrestler talk an interview, whatever it is, they call them shoot interviews nowadays, you can guarantee that at least 87% of it is bull crap, and the other 13% is complete bull crap.
High numbers. We're getting close to 100 there. I'm not, you know, Marines aren't good at math.
So are there any good wrestling movies that you'd recommend? Not that I'm going to watch them, but I could attempt it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the one and only. It's an old movie starring Henry Winkler, of all people. Hey, the Fonz, that's right, as a wrestler, a Gorgeous George type character, but it's set like in the 50s. But I love it because it shows the love you become for, or you get for wrestling when you start training. What he, in the movie, what he wants to do is be an actor. Then he meets this guy who's a, let's just call him a little person, you know, Hervé Villechaize from Fantasy Island. And he's an actor too in the movie, and he wrestles on the side, and he meets this. Anyways, he goes and he gets in wrestling, and he falls in love with it, and he's hooked to it. Almost ruins his marriage over it. That's what I loved about it. Not the marriage part, but just the fact that he loved
it. Just the ruined marriage. He liked the ruined marriage part. You know, I try to tell people, you know, about back in the day, you know, some of the younger kids, and they're now, you know, heavily involved in the WWE, and they love watching. You know, I remember back in the day being told that you guys would wrestle two, sometimes three times a day in three different cities.
Yeah, that's another one of the wrestling exaggerations. It happened once in a while, but it wasn't like the norm. You might have wrestled 7 days a week, but... And other people wrestled more than others, obviously. It all depended, but it wasn't really that hectic. Well, 7 days a week, I guess, is pretty hectic. I mean, you know.
What would be one of your favorite matches that you were in, and why?
Well, my favorite matches ever was with a guy named Rick Ryder, who I trained years ago, and we used to have what they call all kinds of bloodbaths here in Florida. Cage matches, chain matches, bull rope matches, street fights, death matches, you name it. All over the state for 10 years, indie shows and main events, semi-main events. Those were the most fun because we went out there and pretended to be the crap out of each other, and the fans actually thought we were, and that's the best part. But I wrestled Ric Flair and a lot of the legends. Legends, I said the word.
Uh-oh.
And you know, those are memorable just because of who they are, you know.
How hard was it back in the day? And I've watched some of those reels, and you know, R-Truth came out and had a wrestler break character, and they bet whether he could or couldn't do it. You know, you're in the ring and you watch some of these fans. I remember going to the Bayfront Center, and some fan was dressed in a gi and a black belt, and he's trying to get in there and fight Ric Flair. How do you like not see that, even though you see that in the middle of a match?
Well, I mean, you're a professional. You try to focus on your job, I would guess. I don't know, you know. But in the good old days, the fans, even though they might not, they might say, I know it's all fake. But then they get so riled up, they jump in the ring, get their butts beat. I used to love that. My favorite wrestler of all time is Terry Funk. And he's why I started watching wrestling and got hooked on wrestling and wanted to be a wrestler. And I was proud to become friends with him. But the point is, I'm exaggerating, but almost every time he got in the ring in the glory days of believability and kayfabe, as they call it, fans, he used to have to beat the fans up. I used to love it as a fan. You know, they do. It seemed like every week, every time he's in the ring, he's beating a fan up because they get so riled up because he was such a great bad guy or heel, if you like the inside jargon that fans think they know everything nowadays.
Right.
But to go back to what movies to watch, Paradise Alley, Mad Bull, all the Marvels, great wrestling movies, Paradise Alley, starring. Once again, I'm going to say it. Are you sitting down? The legendary Terry Funk and Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone? How about that?
Yeah, there's 19, two legends right there. You know that?
Came out 1978. I watched it in the theaters. It also has cameos in the wrestling scenes with Dory Funk Jr., Bob Roode, Ted DiBiase, young Ted DiBiase, obviously, because it's 20 years ago. But Holly Race, Ray Stevens, lots of great guys in it. All great legends. Stuff.
Now, what were we saying?
I said they were all legends.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You know, but if you were, you know, to throw, you know, I don't know what name to use, in as you're mentioning all those legends, to me, it's disrespectful to legends to list, even though I think Barry Horowitz could be a legend. Anybody that could go through an entire career without winning or winning very little, you know, did a great job of doing his job.
Infamous?
Well, you know, winning and losing in wrestling doesn't mean anything except to the fans who all think it's fake to begin with. So if you're watching something and you think it's fake, why does it matter to you who wins and who loses? You're an idiot if you believe that. You're an overbearing, obnoxious, pig-faced moron who doesn't have a right, have a concept in life itself, let alone a concept of how you should enjoy wrestling.
Well, don't
you should never care. You should never care who wins or loses. Just care that they don't get hurt and they have a good match. If you're that into it, where you're all mad, you're going to boycott. I'm never watching WWE again because Roman Reigns won. Oh, my God. That's like saying I'm never going to watch The Office again because Dwight annoyed me.
See, Randy, I told you he would tell it like
this. This guy's awesome. No,
I got carried away.
Perfect.
You know, it's funny, and I'm the smartass that will respond to this on Facebook when people are like, who would win between Steve Austin and Dusty Rhodes?
Oh, yeah. Like I always comment whatever the promoter wants.
That's what I say. I always say the script writer.
Well, either way.
Yeah, it is the same thing for sure. Bob, thank you very much for your time. Hopefully we can get you back on. If you do something local, you know, one of your meet and greets or, you know, where you tell old stories, please let Steve know. We can all come out and have a good time and reminisce the olden days as we continue to talk the new days.
The good old days, but not just because I liked wrestling better back then because I was younger, but I just mentioned the real reason. I was younger! Of course I liked it better back then.
That's awesome.
I'm old now, and I'm sitting in a chair. I'm sitting in a chair right now that after I hang up, I'm going to have to get up. You know what the problem there is? Getting up.
Getting up, yeah. No, for sure. We need to bring you in here so you can do the whole 3 hours, and I can go to lunch.
I'll talk to Steve about getting up in the limo and bringing you down to the studio. Hey, do it. Once I get started, I can ramble all day. Talk about Evel Knievel, who was a good friend of mine. I can go there, too. I got all kinds of stories.
Well, definitely. I'll tell you a quick Evel Knievel story. So we're playing golf in Largo. I knew him fairly well. He did the TV show I used to be involved in. We'd play golf once in a while. So I go to him. I'm wearing this stupid golf hat. I don't even know what they're called. You know, it was just dumb. I normally don't wear hats like that. So I say, you know, I've never asked you for this. Would you mind? And he takes the hat and he starts to sign the hat.
Oh, no.
And I go, no, I didn't want you to sign the hat. I just wanted to take a photo. I've never taken a photo with you. And he was trying to sign the hat. I now wish I had the hat signed. But he was always good to this program and good to me. I miss that guy as well. But, yeah, we will get you in studio. We'll do a whole two-hour show, maybe three-hour show, and reminisce and tell old stories about all the people that you knew, know, and continue to know.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It'd be fun.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time. That's Bob Cook, everybody. And
thank you.
Steve,
bye.
We'll get him up to the studio at some point. All right, let's hit a break. Final break of hour number two. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator.
Hey, this is Matt Hasselbeck of the Seattle Seahawks. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is John Gafford from The Apprentice, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
What's so funny? What are you laughing at?
Just the old school name drops there. Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some cool. So there's some pretty
great ones in there.
Some I wished I would have done one with Evel.
Yeah.
Classic. You know, we got a Hulk Hogan. We got a Macho Man, one of my favorites. The DDP is kind of cool. I got a Dusty Rhodes, I think. You know, people ask me all the time, what is your favorite this, favorite that? It's kind of like the Mount Rushmore. You know, let's you know, we argue Mount Rushmore of, and in this case, it's actors. You know, when we're talking wrestling, it's actors. And I always say to people, how can you judge? You're going by, you know, this Gunther guy who hasn't lost in 2 years, or Roman, he hasn't lost because the script says he hasn't lost.
Right.
You know, and like Bob Cook just said, a lot of fans put into records that only matter in real competitions. So you're going to say that this guy is better than the other guy, Barry Horowitz, who went years, his whole gimmick was he was patting himself on the back and he'd get pinned. The guy was a phenomenal actor, you know, so how do you not list him? Because he did something that other people can't do. And how do you go through, you know, I've always thought this, and I should have asked Bob, and we'll do it next time, that You want to win. You want to be a winner.
Sure.
You know, I know that a lot of these wrestlers, actors, want to be heels. You know, they're not heels in real life. And it's, you know, I've met some of these heels. I had the fortunate pleasure to have a long talk with Wyndham Rotunda, Bray Wyatt, just a few weeks before he passed away. And A, he did kind of say something similar to what Bob Cook said about the fans, you know, that, you know, they buy into this so much, yeah. You know, it's a
They're
gimmick.
Into it, man.
So here Bray Wyatt was this evil in this and was one of the nicest guys. I just met him and we're talking and he's like, you know, maybe we'll do something that we've never done. Maybe I'll bring my dad and uncle in and the three of them. I'm like, what? And as an older, old school wrestling fan, in case you don't know, his uncle is Barry Windham,
nice.
who happens to be one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And I almost got punched by Arn Anderson
nice.
At a Comic-Con. And we're going to talk about that and why he almost punched me. And his dad is Mike Rotunda, you know, formerly known as IRS. So I go up to Arn Anderson and I said, I'd like to get your opinion on the Four Horsemen. And was Barry Windham a Four Horseman? And he gave me the dirtiest look and he said, he's probably the best wrestler that ever wrestled under the Four Horsemen. And I said, well, I'm not arguing that. Barry Windham, the yellow dog for people who know, and came out to Coward of the County. So I know a lot about Barry Windham. It's not that I'm not saying he wasn't a great wrestler and a great person and a great, 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 great. There's Four Horsemen. There, you know,
his brother.
There's J.J. Dillon. There's, I think it was a cousin that really wasn't related,
oh, really?
I think is the truth. It's Ole, it's Arn, it's Tully Blanchard, and it's Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like going to a band. You know, I went to go see Little River Band not too long ago. Little River Band originally was from Australia, New Zealand, whatever. And I Googled it as I'm waiting for them. They're all from Kansas now. So they're not the Little River Band. And all of these people that put on a Four Horsemen shirt or an NWO shirt, the NWA was those three. It was
NWO.
Hogan. That's what turned wrestling. You know, people, whether you like them or not, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a huge, you're going to like this one, huge mark for Hulk Hogan. But him doing what he did and going heel after he was the eat your vitamins, say your prayers,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Where was the option? That's all. That was the end of the road for him, right?
Yeah, probably.
It was.
But you didn't know
it.
But you didn't know it. And some of these wrestlers, just like some people, you know, they don't want to go that route. You know, they're loved. You know, Terry went from being probably the most loved performer in the world to now they're throwing stuff in the ring. They're because they're buying into it like it's real, not
well,
that he's acting.
Hulk got a taste in Rocky III, being the heel.
The Thunderlips,
got a
yeah.
little taste of it.
Well, and to be honest, I think that did a lot for Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea anyway.
Forever, because that was what the old Florida rest, kind of what we were hearing about, right? That's kind of like what it was there.
Do you have a Thunderlip action figure?
I do not.
I do. I have all the Rocky Balboa action figures.
Man, we're going to talk about that later. I can't. You've got more stuff hidden away in that treasure chest of goodies.
It's four storage units. So it really defeats the purpose of owning all this crap.
Yes.
Because I don't enjoy it. Because
yes,
I don't see it.
You don't see it.
Right.
Pick the stuff you want to see and then let me sell the rest of it. Easy.
Oh, you have an ulterior motive.
Well, I'll just take a little piece. Come on.
I've got you. All right, so we're coming to the end of hour number two. We have a couple minutes before the top of the hour. Hour number three, we're going to head down to Mexico as we get ready for UFC Fight Night. Two UFC fighters will be on top of the hour, bottom of the hour. We'll bring it back to what Knockout Radio does and does best, and that's talk some MMA. You an MMA guy at all? I know that you sell UFC cards. I see you brought some.
I brought some. That's the last Panini release. So now it's going to be all tops. It's going to be all tops. From
see, wasn't the rumor that it was going to go to Fanatics?
Let's see.
Is it? Is tops? Is okay. Yeah. All right.
They kept all the brands, but it's Fanatics.
Okay.
All the same tops chrome, tops unlimited, tops popped up, all that stuff now. It's Fanatics.
Off the top of your head, what is the most valuable UFC card, whether it's Topps or Panini? Is there something? I'm assuming it'd probably be
Gracie
a con or something.
Good.
Really, Gracie?
Well, because people who know about like UFC 1, 2, 10, like the early ones, right? Those are the guys who have the money to put down for the
the high value items. The new fan can get a Connor this, a Connor that, but it's saturated. There's Connor stuff.
Right.
I mean, everywhere when it comes to UFC.
When they, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but when they're signing these cards, are they told you have to use blue, you have to use black, or can they throw
it? I think they recommend and send the pins that they want to have it signed. Because what, as the value of the card and the number of the card gets down, you get like orange auto, blue auto, red auto, like this kind of thing. It adds a lot of value, a great deal of value in the rarity, especially in a rookie. But the Connor stuff, it's kind of transcendent, and he's got a big international market as well. That's a big deal. If you're just a kid from Ohio and only the people from Ohio, half the UFC seems like they're from Ohio, it seems that when I'm watching. But the small town, that's different than if the guy's from a different place, and there's a huge market. Korean Zombie, that guy.
The greatest heavyweight, the greatest UFC heavyweight champions from Ohio.
Is that how it goes?
That's Mark Coleman.
Now he's from Ohio?
Yeah, he's from Ohio. If John Jones, when John Jones defends, now that he has won the heavyweight title, you know, we'll see about he is the GOAT. I don't have him as the greatest heavyweight champion at this time. Some people say Stipe. I'm sticking with Mark Coleman. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go, coming to you live from the Cool Breeze AC broadcast facility. This is Knockout Radio. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Kurt Gowdy, and you're talking sports with Randy Hurd.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.